This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you do that?
You go like that in the middle fingers.
Oh.
And then you open. Hello.
Hi.
And welcome
to My Favorite Murder.
The mini-sode.
This is the mini version of the sode.
This is the house. This is the steeple. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people writing in their own hometown murders to our website.
That was perfect.
Thanks.
Do you have a good one to end on?
Yes.
Okay. Can I go first then? Because mine's a little depressing.
Always.
This is called Stalked by My Therapist Mother's Client. Stalked by My Therapist Mother's Client. Let me read it to you.
Great.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, Steven, and all associated animals. For HIPAA reasons, I have to leave some details a little vague. I love those stories.
Yes, you know it's going to be good. Even the vaguest HIPAA story is the best story.
Send us your vague HIPAA stories, please.
Hey, doctors, nurses, and people restricted by the law to tell us things.
Yeah.
Please write in and tell us things.
But then add an addendum of like, don't read this on the air, and then like, just tell us the good details. We won't tell anyone.
That's right.
Right?
That's going to be...
We'll shred them right after.
We're going to put that behind a Stitcher paywall. The HIPAA Stitcher paywall.
You guys love Stitcher paywalls, right?
Right?
We all do.
Who doesn't?
Okay. My mom is a licensed clinical social worker. Back when she was pregnant with me, she was working with a client who grew increasingly jealous of her impending addition.
Oh.
Me.
Oh, no.
Despite my mom already having one child, her client was insistent that my arrival would mean that my mom would abandon her client. No amount of reassurance would calm her fears, and she eventually began to threaten my family, forcing my mom to end all contact with her. It quickly became apparent that her solution to this problem would be to kidnap me so my mom wouldn't have any distractions keeping her from work.
Keeping her from 1 hour therapy sessions once a week. Uh-huh.
My mother had to keep the date and location of my birth a secret in order to keep me safe. How fucking bananas is that?
It's so awesome. It's, you know, we were never in the white pages growing up because my mom was a psychiatric nurse.
Oh, shit.
She couldn't be in there so people could look you up and call you if they felt like it.
And now we can't do it because we're podcasters.
Oh, now I do it.
At the time, there was an influx of baby napping in my hometown.
Oh.
Wait, what? Can we hear more about that, please?
Really?
So everyone was on high alert already. I suppose this worked out well for us because we didn't have any issues for many years. Fast forward to my 9th birthday. We had since moved to a new state and had an unlisted phone number. On the day of my birthday, someone kept calling and asking for me by name, saying they wanted to wish me a happy birthday.
Ooh.
The first time they called, someone answered and handed the phone to me. The caller hung up right when I answered.
Can I do my impression?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Click. Bzz. Okay.
Okay. 6 or 7 hang-up calls later, all answered by my parents and not their 9-year-old, don't worry. My mom grabbed the phone and said, client name, I know it's you, stop calling. The caller gasped, hung up, and never called again. Moral of the story, be nice to your therapists as they are often risking their own safety to help you. Thank you for all that you do, M.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's intense. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, therapists are talking to and engaging with people in need and people who are need help handling the stuff that goes on in their life. And after a while, you're so grateful. I mean, I have that feeling about my therapist is like, I don't like the fact that when I leave, there's someone else waiting to go in.
Seriously?
It bums me out.
Well, yeah, because you're just another one of them.
Yeah. It's just like, it gives you that sense of like when you're in the room, it's just like, she loves my problems. Like you can tell yourself anything. She's so on my side.
Yeah.
She thinks I'm amazing. And you walk out and you're like, look at this loser. And then you're just like, oh yeah, that's... Yeah.
I never think of that because the office that I go to is kind of a big office. So the waiting room is people that you might not know who they're there for.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
You know,
you should try that.
I've seen intentionally switch just so for the anonymity. I've seen people I know coming out of the therapist's office so many times.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened to me a bunch of times. And one time it was my friend Stephanie where we both just started laughing.
It doesn't bother me at all. I just saw someone the other day.
My only thing is I don't like seeing other people with a cry face.
Oh, see, I don't cry because I'm emotionally broken. And so I never have a cry face coming out of therapy.
My cry face.
Should try that.
I look like a kind of an off-brand Star Wars character. Or Star Trek character is more accurate. Where when I cry, my eyes go bright, like white, blue with red. Ew. And the red won't go away. And then, of course, all my skin turns red.
Yeah.
It's really intense.
I do wonder if people see Vince and I coming out of therapy together. And I think that maybe I'm purposely trying to look cuddly with him and like happy and we have our arms around each other.
So and that's when they all go, oh, he must beat her senseless. I'm going to send the Hollywood Reporter over to take pictures of you.
I love it.
Okay. The River's Edge. The subject line of this is The River's Edge, My Hometown Murder.
Oh my God, that movie's so good. Everyone watch it.
Yes. Okay. So, hi all. Your podcast gives me life. All caps. In two earlier episodes, Karen mentioned the movie The River's Edge. That terribly acted movie is one of the bragging rights of my hometown of Milpitas, California.
Wow.
I disagree that it's horribly acted. No. I think it was the new verite, but it was very early on.
Come on, man.
Hey, man. Okay. And I think the little boy on the bike that we've talked about extensively is one of the great child actors of all time.
So deal with it.
So fuck you, whoever this is from. Immediately contradicting the poor person who's just trying to send in hometown. Milpitas used to be a small town. To date, there is only one high school. To be fair, the high school has 2,600 students, but no crosstown rival.
Thank you for being fair.
Yeah, that is fair. It was very much a neighborhood where people knew their neighbors and gossip was plentiful. It was November 3rd, 1981, and a 16-year-old boy named Anthony Broussard raped and murdered 14-year-old Marcy Conrad. Mm. The two were friends who hung out in a group known as the Stoners. One day, Broussard invited Conrad to his house. She allegedly said something to upset him. He strangled her and raped her corpse. Oh. He then drove her up to the foothills that line the east edge of Milpitas and dumped her body. And as if that wasn't bad enough, he took as many as 17 of his classmates up to see the body. Some poked at her with sticks, some stared, some claimed that it was a mannequin, and one covered her up with nearby plants.
Oh my God.
After 2 days, two of the students couldn't handle keeping the secret. One told the principal and one went to the police. Both of those students were treated like outcasts after telling. Their peers thought they broke some stupid secret code of being a cool teenager. The murder shined a spotlight on a normally sleepy town. No one could understand how so many people could have known and not said anything for so long.
Dude.
It sparked a nationwide discussion about how disaffected suburban youth had become. Today, Milpitas is great if you love terrible drivers, nerdy engineers, the smell of landfill, and paying $1.2 million for a 3-bedroom townhouse.
Oh my God.
I grew up here and married my high school sweetheart 15 years after high school. Our parents, aunts, and uncles all went to school together, and the youngest of them went to high school at the time. They all have different stories of how it affected them. I don't really know what is true and what is bullshit. Hey, none of us do.
No.
No matter how lame Milpitas is, we can always claim that Keanu Reeves, Crispin Glover, and his weirdly tiny forehead, and the... Hey, careful! And the legendary Dennis Hopper were in a movie loosely based on our hood. Broussard pled guilty to the crime and was sentenced to 25 years to life. As of April 2019, he's still in Folsom Prison. He's been denied parole several times. SSDGM, Amanda.
Wow. I can't believe we haven't done that one yet.
I know. I did not know it was from Milpitas.
Yeah, that's right by where you're from, right?
Yeah, I believe... It's either East Bay or South Bay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Those of us in the North Bay don't really know what's going on in either of those two places. But she said nerdy engineers, which makes me think closer to Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that movie and being so disturbed by the idea that like kid after kid, there was no kid with the conscience going, what the fuck are any of you doing?
Yeah. And it's a fucked up movie.
Yeah.
But it's great. Okay. This one is called... Escaped Canadian serial killer Alan Legere signed my poppy's outhouse. Is it Legere? Do you know Alan?
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to say it's Legere.
Okay.
The end. Hi from New Brunswick, East Coast, Canada.
Why did you give it that voice?
I don't know.
Like, kind of a rebel.
Hi, from New Brunswick, East Coast, Canada.
Yeah.
Alan Legier, also known as the Monster of Mariche, was an active rapist serial killer in New Brunswick in the 80s. After going down for his first murder, he managed to escape jail, and how he did it is insane. He first gave himself an ear infection by peeing on his pillow constantly in jail. And got himself a trip to the hospital. He managed to break off the TV antenna in the hospital and hide it up his butt.
So I would hope, like, it's retracted.
Gotta hope.
Okay.
Then after using it to pick his handcuffs when the guards weren't watching, he used the shit antenna as a weapon and just ran past them to escape.
Jesus.
Then begins his 7-month run from the cops while living in the woods, off the land, or in people's camps in rural New Brunswick, while also being on a Maid of Nightmares killing spree.
Oh, shit.
My Poppy's hunting camp was in a nearby village, way back in the woods. The rumor was that Alan Legier was hopping from camp to camp using people's facilities to survive and hide, which would work great there because most people only really use the camps for a short time during the hunting season. My dad recently told me about Alan Legier and said that Pop went to the camp one fall in 1989 and noticed it said Al Legier written on the outhouse wall as if he had left his signature.
Oh.
Now, it is very realistic that Pop wrote that himself as a hilarious prank because he was hilarious, and what serial killer on the run is going to leave his signature behind? But it's also realistic that he could have hidden out in Poppy's camp using the same beds that we've slept on and sat in the same outhouse. Pop has since passed away, so I can't confirm whether it was a prank, but I'd like to think that since he didn't fess up to it after almost 30 years, that it was a true story.
Mm.
Because I guess I'm a weirdo who wants a serial killer to have shat in the same outhouse. Anyway, eventually this monster got caught and is currently serving a life sentence in prison. Beth, P.S. We'd love to have you on the East Coast of Canada, please.
Like somewhere around New Brunswick?
Like, for example, New Brunswick.
Is it New Brunswick?
Yes. Yes.
New Brunswick.
New Brunswick.
Sounds good.
Great. We'll be there tomorrow.
Thanks so much, Beth. Thanks for the invitation. That's all we were waiting for. Okay. The subject line of this email is murderer, wedding DJ, and a bonus 3 Mile Island story.
Ooh.
Dear Karen, Georgia, Steven, and the gang.
Cute.
Huge fan, loved the Philly show, sorry for the Arctic conditions, and I've been wanting to write forever. I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where in 1992, the year before I went to kindergarten, a 6th grade teacher from my school mysteriously did not show up for work one morning. The principal decided to go to her apartment to see if she was okay. I know, just call the cops, man. He found her door was unlocked and that she had been brutally raped and murdered. The case went cold for as long as I can remember. There were signs around the county with her picture asking if anyone knew who killed Christy Mirak. Fast forward to 2018. Thanks to Ancestry DNA and similar sleuthing that caught the Golden State Killer, Lancaster law enforcement arrested a suspect after lifting DNA from a water bottle he disposed of at a gig at an elementary school assembly. Mm. In parentheses, horrifying. The culprit was a popular local DJ, DJ Freeze.
I've been reading all about this one.
Are you for real? I've never heard of it. I gasped when I heard, realizing that he had been on our list of top recommended vendors when we were picking our wedding DJ just a couple months before.
Oh my God.
We almost hired a murderer. An episode of, it says here an episode of 24 featuring our old principal, but I think that's a confusion because.
2020?
Yes, I think that's probably 48 what
hours,
thinking of.
Some other number.
It's a number show, but I bet it's not an episode of 24.
I bet you're right.
Unless the president is involved. Dennis Haysbert. An episode of 24 featuring our old principal and B-roll shot at our wedding venue followed shortly after the arrest.
Wow.
It was also a hot topic of conversation at our family Christmas gathering. Then in January, DJ Freeze confessed. That scumbag had been walking around for 27 years, living his life without repercussions for what he did. Infuriating. Luckily, he's behind bars now. As a bonus, you talked about the 3 Mile Island disaster last week. That happened over my parents' wedding weekend. They got married in Lancaster City, which was just outside the 10-mile radius.
Oh my God.
Just outside it. Unfortunately, this meant a few guests canceled at the last minute. Fortunately, because so many people evacuated the area, my folks got upgraded to a bigger, better room at their venue.
But you gotta look on the bright side, people.
That's what they say.
Really?
I might have 12 toes, but Three Mile Island didn't destroy their wedding, and they just celebrated 40 years of marriage this past weekend.
Cute.
Stay sexy and don't hire a murdering DJ for your wedding. E.
Their love is atomic.
Yes.
I've been following this cold case. It was a cold case I've been following since he got caught, because we still haven't figured out how they knew each other. But now that she says that he was DJing elementary schools and she was an elementary school teacher,
Yes.
And this woman, you should see her photo, and she's just this sweet baby angel. It's so awful. And I can't believe it took that long to find him, and I'm so glad they did.
Yeah.
Because he totally looks like a normal DJ. I mean, what is that?
He looks like the most average DJ.
You know. Headphones. All right. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want
to
solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye. If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills, because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Craft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's MADEIN cookware.com.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Here's my last one.
Okay.
Munchausen by proxy, lighthearted.
Okay.
Hello, Karen, Georgia, and associates, especially Elvis and George. Longtime listener, first time emailer here. I finally have a story to tell you. You didn't ask, but I'm sure you'd want to know. I've known about Munchausen by proxy since the Phil Donahue days.
Yeah.
But then she insults us by saying, you girls are both too young to remember this pre-Oprah gem.
Are you high? Are you crazy?
I watched that as a child and loved Phil Donahue.
That was what I did after school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muppet Babies, Phil Donahue.
Boy George was on there. Remember when the world went crazy? They were like, who is this person? Yeah. And why is he dressed this way? And
then is he a boy or a girl?
Boy George is like, look, I'm just here to bring my music and have a great time. And by the end, everyone's like, we love it. It's the best.
But it wasn't until I watched the Mommy, Dead, and Dearest documentary that it actually dawned on me that a form of Munchausen had happened to me as a child. I guess denial really is the strongest of human emotions. My father was a police officer for 35 years and apparently had a hero complex with a sight of Munchausen by proxy. He was also a prolific secret smoker. He, according to my mom, smoked 2 packs a day, but on the sly.
Whoa.
How? It says, did I mention that my family of origin had issues? Lol. Don't worry, I survived and have lots of therapy. I grew up in the 70s. Unbelievably, people smoked cigarettes everywhere back then.
Yes.
The car, at home, restaurants, the mall, and even at work.
The bank, gas stations.
Like, constantly.
It was everywhere, and no one paid it. No one knew the difference.
Yeah. I, not surprisingly, had asthma. In addition, I was, and still am, allergic to cigarettes. Deathly allergic. Combine this allergy with Dad's hero complex / Munchausen by proxy plus his serendipitous smoking, and what happens? Him on a repeated basis carrying me out to the squad car and mostly rushing me to the ER while my fingers turned blue, and finally a shot of epinephrine. I would come sputtering back to life, and guess who was the hero and getting all of the attention for my near-death experience? Dear old Dad.
Oh.
What they didn't know is that he would get off his shift at 2 a.m., smoke in the basement next to the forced air furnace and wait.
Oh, on purpose?
Yeah. I would wake up gasping for breath and trying to cough, whereupon he would swing into action and turn into a hero.
Ew, no.
Then she writes, how on earth is this lighthearted, you may ask? Well, number one, medication has vastly improved and I have inhalers and a nebulizer. 2, I'm still allergic to cigarettes, but we now have clean air laws.
Mm.
And 3, Dad died from COPD.
Oh, shit.
Okay, this is a low blow, but I think after all those emergency room trips that I earned the right to have grim and inappropriate humor.
Sure.
You see, back then, the family doctor said I wouldn't make it past 20. Yes, they said stuff like that back then, in front of the kid, even. And here I am, still breathing well and enjoying my best life over 50. Ha! Thanks for your jocularity in the face of evil. It gives us back our power, Mary.
Wow.
Isn't that bananas?
That is, you don't hear it. I haven't heard it, yeah. I should say, of men having
That's
it.
That's true.
You rarely hear that.
I mean, you got to wonder how many cases are out there that nobody knows about because they were doing stuff like that.
Yes.
Where it's just, you'll never find out.
And I think, like, men being given the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And he's a cop, too.
He's a cop. You just so rarely go, oh, my God, he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, in that way of, like, behaviorally based.
Yeah.
Going, it would never be suspicious. It'd just be like, oh, he's done it again. Isn't that great?
It's just so sad and awful. And I just feel for her that her, you know, you have to grapple with that feeling that your dad was doing something like that. And the fact that she's lighthearted.
She doesn't have to grapple with it.
Yeah.
Because she's basically saying that's his thing.
Yeah.
It was his thing and she survived it and she's fine.
She's impressive.
Yeah. That's an amazing story.
That's why I didn't want to end with that one.
Right. Okay. So let's end with this one.
Okay.
This says college self-defense.
Okay.
Lighthearted.
Okay.
Hey, MFM crew. Love the show. Blah, blah, blah. I'm a public librarian in Buffalo, New York, which means I've seen and heard some crazy shit. Like the parking lot fight I've broken up. Jane Austen. I like Emily Bronte. Well, let's go fight in the parking lot. Or the guy who OD'd on heroin in our bathroom. Or the coworker who told me that her abusive ex-husband was briefly a suspect in Buffalo's famous bike path rapist case.
Shit.
He wasn't the guy, but he was a real asshole. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this. when I was in grad school, there was a period where there were a ton of sexual assaults and muggings on campus. Around 10:30 one night after class, my classmate and I walked out of the building together, but I forgot a notebook and had to run back to the classroom, so we said our goodbyes.
Don't do it.
I got the notebook and walked back outside to make the long walk to catch the bus when two hands grabbed my shoulders from behind. Without thinking, I stomped on the arch of the guy's foot and elbowed him in the face.
Yes.
And the guy yelled, "Fuck, Jill." It was my classmate who I initially walked out with. He thought it would be hilarious to give me a little scare.
Deserved it.
The next day, his girlfriend asked why he had a fat lip and a bruise on his face. He told her the story and she told him he deserved it. Hell yeah, Brian's girlfriend. Stay sexy and don't go to grad school, Jill.
Stay sexy and don't. That's the moral of the story. Yeah.
Just avoid all of that.
I do think that there is this thing, you know, like, yeah, that person, you get to fight back if someone scares you. And it doesn't matter if it's if someone playing a joke on you, they fucking deserve it.
Well, the people that play jokes and pranks like right. that have to understand that it's not a joke or a prank to the person before they find out it's you doing it.
Yeah.
And so in that span of time, whether it's 2 seconds or 5 minutes, they're going to do whatever they feel like doing to you.
You know who wouldn't play a prank like that because they understand what it means when someone jumps out at you and puts their hands on you? Another woman. So if a guy's yes. doing that, it's because he doesn't understand how scary it is just to walk at night as a woman.
Yeah, or he's just not thinking it all the way through. Right. Of like, here's a funny joke. Well, it's like, well, now you know from this day forward, it's not a funny joke.
Now we have to get pepper spray out of your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Can we get more librarian stories, please?
Oh, man. If you are a librarian of any kind and you have scary, upsetting, wonderful, hilarious, thrilling, or whatever library stories. Yes, we want to hear them.
100%.
Please. We know you guys see the shit.
Yeah. MyFavoriteMurder@gmail.com, or you can go to our new website and do it directly from there.
Why not?
Do it.
Because it's a brand new website. It's been rebuilt. It's so beautiful. We're so excited about it. Also, the fan cult is new. So you might want to, if you've been kicking around the idea of joining the fan cult, there's lots of great reasons to join now.
That's right.
MyFavoriteMurder.gov.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your stories.
And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Goodbye.
Mimi, want a cookie?